technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Texter, can the Texans afford Devontae? Keep away from other teams while hedging on Diggs gamble? Spend the money before Stroud money?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
I hope the Texter realizes that his contract balloons to $35 million next year. Nope.
Not to go all cliche, but there's only one football. I mean, we at some point you have enough wide receivers.
Not to go all cliche, as I go all cliche.
Yeah, there's no other way around it.
And we all think that Tank is being underused.
Yeah, he's being used in blowouts is what Tank Dell's being used in. Am I wrong to think Devontae Adams isn't nearly as good as he used to be?
See, I think that someone brought up a stat the other day on ESPN about he leading the league over the last couple of years in touchdowns or something like that.
He had a big touchdown season in 2022 for the Raiders. Last year was a little bit down, I think around 8 or 9.
Yeah, so over the last 2-3 years, he's led the league in touchdowns or something like that. But I'm like, when I look at him, regardless of who his quarterback is, he's not prime Devontae Adams. That was in Green Bay. He's not the same guy speed-wise. He's always been great hands, a lot like D-Hop, but at the same time, and he runs good routes, but a lot of it was timing and at his peak when he was in Green Bay. I haven't seen peak Devontae Adams in 2 years, and now it's going to $35 million. I'm staying away from that.
He was great in 2022 with Carr. It was like 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns. He was great, but last year definitely took a step down. The question is, you know, chicken or the egg, is it Devontae taking a step down, or is it Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy Garoppolo? And obviously, you have that question this year, too, so it's hard to know for sure, but he wouldn't be the first 31-year-old receiver to show some decline.
No, but I also think that he does have a point that it's been less than in terms of he came, that like Jeremy said, he went to Vegas solely to play with Carr again, and then they ripped Carr out from under him, and since then he hasn't had the greatest of quarterbacks to get him to football.
Cap hits $44 million next year, and then $44 the year after that.
Hard pass.
Whenever he's going to be in his age 33 and age 34 season. I'm not interested.
No, thank you.
I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't take him for free. I wouldn't take him for free.
Ironically,
one you can. You don't have that. You don't have $25 million in cap space.
Like, ironically, one of the Packers beat writers was reporting that the Packers had an offer on the table for him.
Really?
That was Christian Watson, a future second, and possibly their linebacker from Georgia.
I don't believe it.
I'm like, that's way, way, way too much. But there's no way that Gutekunst would want him back at that price.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't think that he's going to get
Quay Walker. They said Quay Walker too. It's like there's no way.
That's the guy that sings the Texans song, right?
Yeah, football time in Houston. Why would you want him back with as many good receivers as Green
Bay
has?
They're loaded.
Jaden Reed's been great. Wicks has been great,
and they're cheap. Watson can't stay healthy, but when he is, he's a
touchdown
talented.
Threat. And Romeo Doubs isn't a bad receiver.
If I'm the Jets, I don't want him. Like they might have to like you know please Aaron Rodgers. But if I didn't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers' feelings, I would be okay with what I had. I'm not bringing in Devontae Adams at 32 years old for $35 million and $35 million.
I think that's a sign that Aaron Rodgers isn't completely happy with Garrett Wilson. Like we saw some of the videos during training camp of them arguing. Make of that what you will. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has been known to have some drama before, but I've heard a little bit of rumble. And maybe this is just you know these are from fantasy guys, so who knows? These aren't you know beat reporters
these aren't
or
real people,
yeah, or Adam Schefter. But it feels like there might be some unhappiness with Aaron Rodgers on how Garrett Wilson is playing.
See. But then he goes out in the press conferences and says Garrett's been double covered and, you know, no one gets more attention than him and we got to find a way to get him the football.
That's the public face, though.
But I think there's a divorce coming somewhere within that where it's Saleh or some changes are going to be made because from a Jets perspective, they can't be happy with Lazard and that was another guy that Aaron had to have. They overpaid him and he's not been good.
Respectfully, I think Lazard's been way better than
people
think.
He's actually had a few
touchdowns. Last year, he got hurt. He was not right. He's
whenever Rodgers has not played, he's been awful. When Rodgers is playing, he's been good.
Like, that's the only guy he trusts. Maybe you're right.
No, yeah, probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Like, he has a trust factor with Lazard. Like, he knows Lazard. He's comfortable with Lazard. Whereas Garrett Wilson's uber talented. That so far, it's only been four games. Mm-hmm. That so far through four games has been a disappointment. He's not had a good start to his season. But yeah, I wouldn't be in on Devontae Adams. And if I'm not, even if I'm a team that's desperate for wide receiver, like maybe the Commanders are, the Steelers are, they're desperate. They were in on Ayuk. Now they're in on Devontae Adams. The Bills don't seem like they should be desperate, but maybe they are. Even if I'm a receiver desperate team, I would have trouble parting with more than a fourth rounder. With knowing the contract, yeah, the $35 million, it'd be hard for me to give a top three round pick.
I'm not sold that his, even if you're not questioning his ability at this stage in his career, the money alone tells me I'm doing you a massive favor taking him off your books, and you've got problems with him within the organization and the locker room. I'm not going out of my way to take on all of that financially and give you a premium pick, like a second round pick. No way.
Yeah, it'd be I wouldn't part for a top three round pick. Mm-mm. All right, Texans offensive line. I do think it got better this past week. Certainly, still a lot to be desired. Still nowhere where it needs to be. Still a hindrance to this offense. But I did see some improvements. They were stopping the stunts a little bit better. They weren't perfect, but they were stopping some stunts a little bit better. The one downside of the offensive line that I noticed, though, that I don't think has been as apparent as the first three games, Kenyon Green was getting bullied.
Oh, boy, did he.
Kenyon Green was getting bullied. He was getting pushed back into C.J. Stroud.
The pass blocking that we were worried about that looked like it might be a lot better coming into the first 2 weeks of the season surely looked like he hadn't done anything last week.
So I do think that they improved as a unit. I think Kenyon individually took a step back. But the conversation that I have, because you look at this offensive line, I think it has to be one of two issues. You have Laremy Tunsil, who's obviously a first-round left tackle, who's been twice rewarded as the highest-paid left tackle in the NFL. Kenyon Green was a first-round draft pick, and he would have been a first-round draft pick even if you didn't pick him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was going to be drafted in the first round. Juice Scruggs was a second-round draft pick. He probably had a third-round grade, but that's still a high pick, especially for an interior offensive lineman. Shaq Mason was traded for and re-signed. Tytus Howard wasn't drafted by Caserio, but Nick Caserio is the man who gave Tytus Howard a top-five right tackle contract. So when I look at the offensive line, all of that stuff and all the capital, whether it's draft capital or financial capital, that you've used on the offensive line tells you that it should be a good offensive line. So I think it has to be one of two things. Either the offensive line is poorly coached, and we've brought this up and kicked it around a couple of times with Chris Strauser, or it's a Nick Caserio being a poor offensive line evaluator. Because whenever you have Laremy Tunsil, first-rounder, two-time highest-paid left tackle in football, Kenyon Green, first-rounder, consensus, Juice Scruggs, a consensus third-rounder that you picked in the second round, Shaq Mason, who's a solid veteran who you extended to a contract, Tytus Howard, who was a first-rounder, and even though he wasn't your first-rounder, you paid him top-five right tackle money. So it's either A, you have a very talented offensive line that's being coached poorly, that they're not living up to their potential, or Nick Caserio is a poor offensive line evaluator. So which of the two is it?
Now, hear me out, but why can't it be both?
It could be.
Because
it's got to be either A or B. Yeah.
Because I look at this, and we talked about this at the start of the year. You do have enough talent. You've had enough talent in the past, and he's even gone out and found talent on the fly when he had to because he didn't prepare for the Kenyon Green injury to where you were able to really – hold everything together, keep CJ upright, keep him protected enough, and you were playing, you know, musical chairs with all the different positions. And then we look at it on paper to start the season, and we say, your tackles look pretty solid. And all the guys that you mentioned look like that they can play, even if Kenyon Green is only a run blocker that really still struggles pass blocking. The rest of the offensive line looks really above average. And so that for that, if I'm going to say it could be both, but where I'm going to point the finger first and foremost is coaching. Because coaching should be able to take that talent and be able to work on the things that has been basically bothering them the most, that have been the biggest bugaboo that this entire offensive line has had to deal with. The fact that you have the pre-snap penalties, that's one thing. It's one thing to say the tonsillitis that goes all the way down the offensive line, that everybody gets the false starts. That's one thing. But from a coaching perspective, one, you start with the fact you know the league is really making a big deal about your alignment on the line, and that's something that you got to be focused on, prepared for, and understand that when it happens and the crew looks like they're going to call it, adjust. And that's something you work on in practice. The actual in-game stuff and the pre-snap stuff with the cadence, with all that stuff, those are all things from a coaching perspective have to be better. And then when you start getting it to be a bigger deal because it's become prevalent in every game that you've had so far this season, then you've got to be hyper-focused on that more so than just about anything else week to week to start your week, because it kills the team. It shoots you in the foot every time you do something offensively.
Yeah, it could be both. It could be both. It just, to me, it can't be neither. Like, right. It's at minimum one of the two. I tend to say that it's poorly coached more than it is that Nick Caserio is a poor offensive line evaluator. Because, I mean, Laramie is a good left tackle, especially post-snap. Post-snap, Laramie Tunsil is one of the best left tackles in football. Pre-snap, there's some issues there. But once you snap the football, he's pretty stinking good. Kenyon, so that can't be Italian evaluation thing. Like, Nick Caserio can't mis-evaluate Laramie Tunsil. Kenyon Green could have been. Yep. And I think if you look back at all the trades that Nick Caserio has made, trading down, passing up Kyle Hamilton, and then eventually selecting Kenyon Green is probably the one that he would most like back if you got a little true serum and you got him liquored up. Center could be in that same category because a lot of people had Juice Scruggs as a third-round grade, and then Nick Caserio traded up and then drafted him in the second. Shaq Mason's always been a solid veteran. And then the Titus Howard thing isn't really a Nick Caserio problem because it wasn't a Nick Caserio draft pick. But the moment you gave him the contract is when you assume Titus Howard is yours.
He became part of your clock at that moment.
Yes, absolutely.
You're absolutely right. And that's the thing. You didn't draft him, but you didn't have to extend him. So the minute you extended him, he became a member of your resume and your legacy here in Houston, and it's your responsibility because you didn't have to do it. And now it'll be even worse if at the end of the year, because you drafted another offensive lineman, that you are looking to move on from him after you extended him and overpaid him. Yeah. Then that is definitely on Nick Caserio.
Yeah, then I didn't even think about throwing in the Blake Fisher aspect of this.
Yeah.
But you also used a second round pick, which I don't think is a terrible thing because I do think he's going to be the right tackle starting next year. And I think they're going to let Titus Howard go to save some finances. But it's if you're doing that, why did you ever give him the contract extension to begin with? Cap says, didn't Bill O'Brien bring in Tunsil? Yes, he did. But Nick Caserio gave him his most recent contract. And then same thing for Howard. Howard was a Bill O'Brien draft pick. But Nick Caserio would later, and not only sign him, not only give him an extension, but gave him top five right tackle money at the time of signing. So it wasn't like this team friendly extension. It was we're gonna give him top five right tackle money. So it wasn't a team friendly deal.
Right.
It's we feel so confident in Titus Howard, we're gonna give him top five right tackle money. So I'm with you. It could very, very well be both. I lean that it's poorly coached more than it's a Nick Caserio is a poor offensive line evaluator, but I do have some Nick Caserio questions, namely with Kenyon Green and then handing Titus Howard top five right tackle money. I'm good with the whole Shaq Mason thing, like you late round draft swap to acquire Shaq Mason. You needed a right guard. You gave him like a pretty friendly contract. I don't really lose sleep over that.
Him this year, though?
Yeah, but I don't mind that. Like, okay. I think Shaq Mason's solid for his contract. Yeah. I think that one's fair. Titus Howard, top five right tackle. Trading down for Kenyon Green when you could have taken Kyle Hamilton. And then the Juice Scruggs thing, jury's still out for me. I kind of like Juice Scruggs, so I'm not really willing to blame Caserio for that one yet.
The Fisher deal could be a Band-Aid, too, for Nick Caserio by the fact that if you drafted him because you knew that you screwed up by extending Howard, that at least you drafted his replacement, and in 1 year's time, you actually had a guy that had a first-round grade that you got in the second round that could end up being the guy that replaces your mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is looking at it that way. I think that's why he drafted him. I think that you look at the importance of having a swing tackle in the NFL, which matters. It is a big deal. But you're not always drafting guys in the second round that will not start their rookie year. Mm-hmm. Like, how many second rounders, especially in the top half of the second round? Like, where was that pick? Like, kind of towards the end of the second? So that makes it a little bit easier, I guess.
It was kind of middle, wasn't it? Yeah, it wasn't a top half.
I thought
half
it was in the 50s because Kamari Lassiter was your first second round pick at like 46 or 47.
You had two within a couple of picks of each other, I thought.
Yeah, but Kamari Lassiter was the first in the 40s, and I think Blake was in the 50s.
So probably bottom half?
But I think it was
lower
bottom
third,
half, yeah.
Maybe? He was 59, so yeah, it was late second round. Okay. So it makes it a little bit more excusable. But how many times do you see a second rounder that's not starting in their rookie year? Because best case scenario, Blake Fisher doesn't start a game this year. Because Laramie Tunsil plays every game, Titus Howard plays every game. Usually with a second rounder, you're thinking that guy's going to start some games for you.
And if he doesn't, he's definitely going to be penciled in as the starter the following year. And so from what you heard and where he came from with Notre Dame and all the different things that you were hearing was, hey, first-round talent, this dude just needs a little bit extra that you kind of are covering your ass in the process.
Yeah, I don't want to blame Caserio for that one because maybe Blake Fisher turns out to be a really good player and Titus Howard's heir apparent. He wasn't good this last game, though. The snaps that he played, he was welcome to the NFL, which was a tough spot for him to be in. But maybe he develops into a good, solid starter. But yeah, I point more to coaching than Casario's talent evaluation. But Kenyon Green. I think it's fair to point to Caserio. Titus Howard, top five right tackle money. I think it's fair to point to Caserio. And it might eventually be fair to point to Caserio whenever you look at Juice Scruggs in a couple of years. All right, hindsight 2020. These two moves have to be talked about when you look at the Astros. Hindsight 2020. Do you still make the Kikuchi trade? Do you still give the Josh Hader contract? And if you were Jim Crane, do you pull a page from the Arizona owner? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I keep telling you about all the different wines that Stella Rosa has and how they go great with whatever you're serving when you got people over to the house. When you give them choices and serve them multiple things that they can eat, why not serve them multiple things they can drink too when they're watching games with you? Because Stella Rosa wines is a refreshing extra beverage to be served along with your hard liquor and your beers. Stella Rosa wine has alcohol, but it's refreshing. You serve it chilled. It goes well with whatever you're serving, and you don't have to really pace yourself because it's got the right amount of alcohol, and it tastes great for the long haul when you're watching games. Grab a bottle the next time you shop. It's available at all your local retailers, and as I mentioned, there's tons of different flavors that go with just about everything you're serving, from wings and chips and salsa and pizza and sliders and everything in between. They're also taking care of you in another way because Stella Rosa wines are making it possible for you to see the biggest college football game of the season. America's favorite semi-sweet, semi-sparkling wine is also looking to get you to that big college football game. All you got to do is go to ESPNLADreamTicket.com right now and register to win. At the end of the season, you might be going to that big game instead of having people over to the house to drink some Stella Rosa wine. Stella Rosa wine can be found at your local retailer. Remember to enjoy it chilled and always celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Couple of texts on the offensive line thing. 8755, isn't it still a little early to judge Green? This is kind of second year for him. He's been hurt. He still has a lot to learn. Problem I have with that more than anything is his contract's not changing. You're not adding an extra year to his deal because this is only his second healthy year. This is his third year in the NFL. Yes, it's a second year playing, but the contract doesn't change. You got a decision to make this offseason, actually, right?
Yeah, we said it's put up or shut up time when it comes to Kenyon Green. We don't care about the fact that he's been hurt. Look, before he got hurt and after he got hurt, especially last week, that run blocking was never the problem. Pass blocking was. And though he kind of looked like he had fixed some things early in the season, and I don't give a rat's ass what number he wears and what he eats for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and all the different things he did that people were talking about, I care if he can pass block. Last weekend, he looked like he still can't pass block. That's a massive problem for a team that has to make a massive decision on him in the next couple of months. And he's got to look better. And Nick drafted him and drafted him in the first round where, to Jeremy's point, even if you're a second-round pick, especially as an offensive lineman, you can even be a third-round pick. But in a year's time, you should probably be starting on the offensive line for the team that takes you. If you're a first-round pick, you should be starting immediately but also performing at a certain level to be taken as a first-round pick. He hadn't done those things.
Yeah, I think you have to pick up the fifth-year rookie option before their fourth year. So this is Kenyon Green's third year. Next year will be his fourth year. So this offseason, you're going to have the decision whether or not to pick up his fifth-year rookie option. So is this Kenyon Green's second year? It is his second healthy year, but the contract doesn't change. And literally this offseason that's coming up, you're going to have to decide whether or not you want to give Kenyon Green that fifth-year rookie option, which also guarantees the fourth year. So they have a decision to make this offseason.
Yeah, because even if you don't want to extend him, this is his window to show he's healthy. He's learned some things. He supposedly worked on, you know, changed his workout routines and got stronger and better. He's going to have to play at a certain level, or a team playing for the kind of goals that the Texans have are going to move on from him, whether they extend him or not, starting next year and maybe sooner.
8835, Jason Peters was signed by the Seahawks. Texans missed out. I bet you that's Keith. I bet you that's Keith.
No, he did.
I know that Jason Peters signed with the Seahawks, but Keith's the guy that likes old football players.
Yeah, because like, Jason Peters is not primetime Jason Peters
anymore. How does he help the Texans? He would be fourth string behind Blake Fisher. He's 48 years old.
Yeah, he could be a mentor.
Maybe.
He could be a better line coach and teacher than the guy they got now.
That has to be Keith Texton. He likes the old guys. 4280, Kenyon Green was just a miss. It happens. It happens a lot with A&M players. dang, Robert and Beaumont throwing some jabs at the Aggies. We are the flagship of the Aggies. He says that he, Kenyon, makes the rest of the problems worse. I think Kenyon has shown flashes this year, but has been mostly bad. Pessimistic Chad Linderbaum was available to draft when they drafted Green. To pass up Hamilton to draft O-line and not take Linderbaum was a huge miss. Facts.
Yeah, it is Linderbaum's true. Linderbaum's a stud.
Yeah, he's really, really stinking good.
So is Hamilton.
Really stinking good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Hindsight 2020. And I think it's fair to play this game. Hindsight 2020. I think there's two big questions that you have to ask when it comes to the Astros. The first one, do you like the Yusei Kikuchi trade now? Now that it's all played out, yes, you won the division. Yes, you got to the postseason. You lost in two games. You were 2-Q. Yusei Kikuchi never pitched an inning, and now he's a free agent. Knowing what you know, now, do you like the Yusei Kikuchi trade?
Do I like it? I like it because I like winning. And I, as much as I didn't like what they gave up, I like it because as an Astro, as much as I doubted it, as much as I didn't like the trade, I like the fact that what he did for this team was a factor in getting him to what they ultimately did, which was get a playoff spot by winning the division, regardless of how far they went once they made the playoffs. The move was made with the playoffs in mind, and the fact that you were in a dogfight with the Mariners, that you weren't sure what you had and you knew what you needed with all the injuries you incurred with starting pitchers. So, yes, I like the Yusei Kikuchi trade because of the fact that he did exactly what the trade was supposed to do and got you the wins to get you to the playoffs, which was the end goal.
He didn't pitch in the postseason. Like, were 2-Q,
yeah.
Didn't pitch in the postseason. Like, the Astros are kind of pass-fail if they go to the ALCS at minimum. Like, how many people are celebrating the AL West Division Championship? Like, this isn't Bill O'Brien. Astro fans are not Bill O'Brien. Like, you had higher aspirations. You had higher goals. And when look, I like the ride of Kikuchi. Kikuchi was fun. I hope they bring Kikuchi back. Mm-hmm. But if knowing what I know now, and obviously you can't do this at the moment of the trade. That's why it's hindsight 2020. But knowing what I know now, you're going to be, you know, Kikuchi's going to pitch well in the regular season. He's not going to pitch in the postseason. You're going to be 2-Q if you make this trade. I don't make that trade.
In hindsight, if I knew all that factoring in, I'm just saying because of what he did and because you don't know if you make the playoffs without him because of the performance that he put forward for you. So you're right. The 2-Q ain't a great feeling and it's not a great look and he didn't help you as much as you thought he might. He wasn't responsible for not pitching in the postseason. But at the same time, what he did, because you knew they were going to make a move no matter what. They made it very clear their first priority was to get another starting pitcher. They were probably going to give up what they gave up no matter who they traded for. And when you traded for him, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, though we doubted if he could. So that's why the way the trade worked out, yeah, it sucks what happened in the playoffs. But I really like, and he likes it here now. And I don't know if that factors in or not, but he'd like to be back. And he pitched his tail off.
I think it has to factor in. Him being here, because he's even talked about how much he likes the culture here, how much of a winning organization this is here. Because I was critical of that when they made the trade, that who cares if he's here for 2 months. I don't think that's a factor if you want him in free agency. I've changed my tone on that. Like, he's talked about how much he likes it here. If he never got to experience that, you never have right. That little 2 month recruitment tool. So I do want him back. But knowing what I know now, and again, hindsight 2020, I wouldn't do it. How about the Josh Hader contract? $95 million, 5 years.
If I could do it all again, I never would have done the deal. It was exciting that it was a big name at the time, and I was excited that they got one of the premier names in free agency. You look back at it, I had a lot of apprehension because of the price they paid. Now, if I could do it all again in hindsight, I ain't doing it. There's no way I'm doing it. I don't care about the eye test means a lot more to me sometimes, and you know that, and I always rely on that. But what I saw from Josh Hader wasn't a lights-out, lockdown, class A-type closer, no matter what he's paid. And the fact that you paid him at a premium to get what you got, I would not have made that move.
I'm not a huge fan of signing relievers to big contracts. I think that you can find relievers. I think you can groom relievers. I think your best reliever is Brian Abreu. I think you can play the free agency game where you're not signing relievers to these big contracts. You can, 1 year deals, and you can still find some really good ones. I'm not a believer in signing relievers to huge deals. So I wouldn't, and I've defended Hader. I wouldn't have done this either. Hindsight 2020. Now you would have been in a difficult spot this year because Presley became very mediocre. Some people would say because of his role. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I still think if Ryan Presley was the closer of the Astros, he would still have this regression back to the mean. I think he would have been very average in that role as well. So it would have made you It would have made your bullpen pretty dang questionable not having Hader because Presley's regression. But just fundamentally, well, I don't believe in signing relievers to massive contracts.
But also factor that in, Jeremy. So if you don't spend the $19 a year in this year's free agency on Josh Hader, could you have gotten a couple more relievers to fortify somewhere to the mid to the close to the back end of your bullpen so that whether you have Abreu or Presley and you have to switch off, you get a couple of cheaper but still effective relievers to cover the difference.
I think you could have, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think your bullpen is just fine, and you're not on the hook for four more years at $19-plus million for a guy that gave you concern. That when you sign that kind of money to that kind of guy to do that job, you should have little to no fear putting him into a game that he could explode.
Yeah. Dana Brown backed up a little bit with Hader today, like backed him up, defended him. It was like, well, he only blew three saves. And it's like, well, there's the other games, the non-save situations that, you know, putting him in tie games and putting him in extra innings when the game was tied, stuff like that, where he kind of didn't have great success. Hopefully he's great the next 4 years. But yeah, hindsight 2020, I wouldn't have done either one of those. 0979, without Kikuchi, they don't make the playoffs. Do you believe that? If they don't have Kikuchi, do you think the Astros missed the playoffs?
I don't believe that they would have missed the playoffs, but I do believe that he factored into them solidifying and winning the division and doing what they did to get to that point. I think that without Kikuchi, they showed without Tucker what they were capable of doing. They were not only treading water, they were winning a lot of baseball games. They would have been a wild card, I think, no matter what, to me. I still thought that there was enough talent on this team that they would end up making a wild card. But then when you saw how tight it got down the stretch, too, you can't undervalue the fact that he was undefeated in the games that he started when you needed him most, and that's why you went and got him. So I think that there is a case to be made that it would have been very difficult to make the playoffs if you don't get him and he doesn't do what he did.
I think you would have. I think they would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, wild card.
I think they would. Yeah. Oh, no, I think they win the division.
I don't.
I still think that they win the division without Yusei Kikuchi. They won the division by, what, five games? I don't think Kikuchi was the difference of five
games. Three and a half.
They won it by 3.5?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing they win the division without Kikuchi and what he did.
3.5. They didn't really care in the Cleveland series, even though they won both of those games. I still think they win the division. I think they win the division without Kikuchi. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hindsight 2020, you absolutely do not sign Josh Hader. You know, you watch back the 2019 playoffs. He completely imploded for the Brewers against the Nationals. Nationals go on to win the World Series. The solve for the Astros this year was they could have got Will Smith for 1 year, $1 million. He's won a World Series in 21, 22, 23, and he's still alive in 24 with the Royals.
Okay. All right.
Is he really with the Royals? I thought he was out of baseball.
No, he's with the Royals.
Really?
He's with the Royals. People are saying if the Royals win it all, then you need Will Smith on your team. No, yeah, he's still alive.
He's won the last three?
Yeah.
That's Robert Ori of baseball.
That's exactly right. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Do you think that Jim Crane should go the Arizona route with any of these free agents that he signed?
See, I give credit to the Arizona owner for coming out and saying that Jordan Montgomery was a mistake and it was the guy that he wanted, and he told his general manager to go do it, and then he, in retrospect, he wouldn't have done it. The problem is that Jordan Montgomery was signed to a 2-year deal, but I give him kudos for being able to say what we wanted Jim Crane to say all along, and I don't know that would have fixed anything, but the fact is we've talked over and over about the Crane moves and the Crane moves and how much it annoys everyone with the Crane gang and Baggy and Reggie and everybody. You can't do it with Josh Hader simply because of the fact that it's a 5-year deal, because of the fact that Josh Hader's still on your roster. I don't think as an owner you're going to ruffle the feathers and go out and say we shouldn't have done that, because I would like him to. I would like him to own up to a lot of this stuff, because you and I have talked about the fact that we're never going to really know what went down and who was involved in what deals that the front office made. But at the same time, we just got done talking about it. In retrospect, I never would have done that deal. I had apprehension at the time, but I loved it that they finally had done something, and it was a big name. But overall, I don't think he can. I'd like him to do it, and I don't think he can simply because of the fact that with four more years of Hader, I don't think you can scorch the relationship.
Yeah. Respectfully, I think I agree. You can't do it publicly. Like, if you were to apologize for, like, hey, I got too involved, I made a bad decision on Abreu, I made a bad decision on Montero, you definitely can't say it with Hader with 4 years left on his deal. But I don't know if you can ever say it publicly, because then it's like, are you going to tick off agents? Are you going to tick off players? Is it going to prevent you from getting players in the future? So as much as I like the Arizona owner doing that, I wonder if it has negative impacts going forward. I think this is a spot where you know, you're at a media gathering or something, like whether it's like Fan Fest 2025 for the Astros and you have some sort of a spot, a press conference, and then you kind of go up to the media afterwards and you're like, hey, you know, like off the record, I screwed up then. Like that type
of
deal.
I see your point. I don't know if
public is the right way to go.
It's just that it would be nice to be able to say, instead of kind of the arrogant approach and the guessing game that goes on, to have an owner that goes, and you're right, generalize it more so that you don't piss off the one player that's still left that has 4 years left on his deal, but to say, hey, I might have overstepped my bounds a little bit by getting too involved in baseball decisions, and I might have been influential in a couple of them that didn't go our way. But at the same time, I understand that I've hired a guy that I put my faith in Dana Brown, and going forward, that would, I think, do so much good for this franchise, for the fan base, for everybody going forward, no matter what happened that has ticked him off at the end of the year here. Because what we don't know is driving us nuts in a lot of ways for how could you let that happen and how could you throw that much money that's going to continue to hurt this team going forward.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Presley struggled last year, literally coined the term. Not to hate her, would have just a group. Not to hater. Oh, no to hater. Would have just groomed Abreu to be your closer. Y'all spell check before y'all send text. Goodness gracious. Without hater, we have Presley, who is now garbage. The fun y'all had with his name was worth the trade, Ocho. We did have some fun with his name. It'll be sad if he leaves. That might be the last time we ever hear that again. We'll only like the trade if we can resign him for a decent amount. If we resign him, that's a much different story. And then you can't be serious. Absolutely. All right. Willibitch, you never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be great. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, Thursday Night Football, it's back. It's tonight. If you got a hunch, and we've told you, we do nothing but winners on this show. We've got plenty of resources that we go to. Adam and Lee and the Killer Bees, they're all about giving you winners. If you want a place where you can play some bets on those winners and see what you can do to cash in, like Lee always tells you to do, go to mybookie.ag. It's the place I always tell you to go to because they're always taking care of their customers. They're doing it again right now. They are using, if you use our promo code BET975, when you sign up for the first time at mybookie.ag, they're going to double your deposit up to $1,000. That means you go and you sign up, you get ready to put money in your account, you put in our promo code BET975, you put your money in, you're going to look at your account and go, that's way more than I put in my account. Well, yeah, because almost instantly, when you use our promo code and you sign up and put money in, they're going to double it. They're going to put more money in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. That's the way they do business at mybookie.ag. They've also got a loyalty program called MyBookie Plus that takes care of you because you go and bet with them. The more you play, the more you win. You can even unlock even more promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards as you climb the different tiers by your participation level. They're fantastic, but always remember our promo code BET975. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play TV show reviews.
TV show reviews on the Wheel of Bits. I haven't actually watched this show. I just watched the trailer. Have you seen this new show, Dr. Odyssey? They're doing like this all-out blitz.
Is that the one on the cruise ship?
The cruise ship. Yes. It's Pacey from... what show is Pacey on?
He was on Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. And Don Johnson's in there?
I don't know who Don Johnson is.
From Miami Vice?
Yeah, he's in there.
Oh, yeah.
He's in there.
Yeah, I do remember Don Johnson. No, I just pulled up the cast. I know his face. I didn't know his name. So this is a guy who's a doctor, who is a doctor on a cruise ship, and they have all sort of drama, like love, and you know people are dying, and the cruise is rocking, and all of this stuff. Is this what network television has become? This crap, this trash.
It's the Love Boat with sauce.
This is terrible.
It's
who's
sassy
watching
Love
this?
Boat, Brian.
And they went full. They went like blitzkrieg with their marketing. They have billboards on the highway. I drive up 45.
Really?
I've seen them on 59 also.
Yeah, they went all out on their marketing for Dr. Odyssey. That quite literally looks like the worst show possible.
It's one of two shows that's coming out this I guess, fall season that literally I told Sean Mapes when I saw the trailer for the other one, and we got the trailer for that one too, but it literally looks like it's written by AI. It's just like, all right, let's take hot people. Yeah. They're an exotic location. They're doing something wacky. There we go. There's the show.
It's awful.
It feels so formulaic.
Yeah, I saw the one commercial where, like, you get the girl in the lingerie, the saucy lady in the lingerie, and then, like, she goes into, like, cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it's just like they took every, like, they basically made a list of all the popular things that happen to TV shows, and they just mashed them together into a Frankenstein's monster and turned out this crap that were, you want to play the trailer?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, be prepared to be very bored and disappointed. Sounds like a circus.
Or the ice cream man.
Yeah. Welcome aboard the Odyssey.
Uh-oh.
This ship is heavy.
So dramatic.
Our mission is to preserve the dream. And that's why you're here.
I'm in.
Keep these dreamers safe. You're going to be okay.
You in?
No.
You don't watch TV.
I do watch TV.
It's not a question of when you encounter waves.
It's if. What is the question?
What you do when they come up.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm done. There we go.
Yeah, just get them all sauced up and fired up, and then when they are about ready to die or pass out, save them.
Are you? What would it take for you to watch Pacey on Dr. Odyssey?
Pay me.
I'm not watching this.
If they pay me, I would.
I am
this
so disappointed
to be a
with television.
Joel's TV show reviews, where we get him to watch terrible
trailer,
TV shows,
or just the trailer.
Pay
listen
me
to the trailer.
I don't want to pay you.
Just listen.
Well, then
to the
I don't
trailer.
Want to do your watch your stupid television shows.
Just the trailer. Review the trailer.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay, yeah. We'll send you trailers. Yeah, yeah. You know
I'm
what? We have another
so
trailer that I was going to play instead. I'll send it to you, and we can do a review.
No,
of it.
No, this is the one that you and Mapes already were talking about during
so you
the baseball
know about
playoffs.
It? Okay.
This is the chick that dresses like a hooker, but as is a mom, and then she's smart. And she solves crime.
I'm so disappointed in what we... Like,
is that a pretty good synopsis?
Produce. What is Hollywood
it's
doing?
It's another AI mashed together show. Yeah, it's, hey, what do people like? It's, oh, surfing. It's hot people. It's a ripoff of Baywatch. Let's throw it together. What
she dresses people? Like a hooker. She's really a mom, but she's super smart at solving crimes, and she's here to entertain you.
It's the way they write a lot of female characters. Oh, she's sassy, and she's got brains, but she's hot, too. Next on Fox.
What are the worst shows ever made? Texter says that the trailer had me speeding in traffic to get home. I'm in on Dr. Odyssey. Rue Kid from Mighty Ducks is a star.
I think the worst
show... Is
there
a Mighty Ducks guy on that cast?
I don't know. I think watched it, but the worst show I ever saw pitched that made it to air was when Geico or the ABC tried to make a show out of the Geico Caveman.
That
they tried
so
to
bad.
Turn it into a sitcom.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It didn't last more than like 8 episodes, but they did. It was.
I hope
think
they got Geico
2000s.
As a sponsor.
We come up with the worst show ideas. Like, what is Hollywood doing with their time? This is what you're doing. That you're creating Geico Caveman, Dr. Odyssey, High Surf. This is brutal. What was that? What was the doctor show with the little kid?
Oh, Doogie Howser?
No, it was new. It was new.
Oh, yeah. It was like a teenage doctor. Gosh, I'd have to Google
I think
it.
He had some issues.
He had
Asperger's.
Yeah,
on
but
the spectrum,
yeah,
okay.
When it came to medical stuff, yeah. he was like spot on.
I would never watch the show, but anytime I saw it made me sick. It made me sick that people would watch that show.
What if you were the patient of that kid? He knew we lived in his neighborhood.
It is so bad. This is why everybody streams these days and nobody watches network television.
Yeah. I mean, more so than anything else, too. I mean, and you think about how long they keep going back to the well, too. I just saw one of the commercials for like...
That's what all these shows are. It's going back to the well
for
what's worked in the past.
All the talent shows... And they just keep recycling judges and recycling to keep it going. And then Dances with the Stars.
Well, yeah, especially Dancing with the Stars. Remember, they killed it off. And then they brought it back. It's like, oh, crap, we don't have any ideas for new shows. Let's bring it back.
Did they bring it back on the same network?
Well, they killed it and then put it like only on Disney Plus, and then they brought it back
to
ABC. Well,
now it's on ABC again.
Yeah, they brought it back to ABC.
Because wasn't it American Idol that went to a different network?
Yeah, I think so.
Weird too.
Well, isn't it? And one of the Dances with the Stars has to wear an ankle bracelet now. That's
one
of the storylines.
That is true. Yes.
Jeez. They don't make quality shows like Burn Notice anymore.
Burn Notice wasn't a quality show.
Great television. Burn Notice texture. House is the goat of all medical shows. Brilliant Minds came on after Football, Baseball, and was surprisingly decent network television. The Good Doctor is the one I was thinking
Good Doctor,
of.
Yeah. Ooh. That's it.
I don't remember the last time I watched network television. For a show.
Yeah.
For a show.
Like, my daughter watches American Ninja Warrior. Yeah, I don't even consider that.
That's a show, but that's not a show.
But it's not like a network drama. Yeah.
And she likes one of the singing ones, The Voice.
Yeah, not a show.
Yeah, again, not really in the category I'm talking about.
I think the last time I watched network TV might have been like The Office.
Yeah, I think it might be Parks and Rec or Community for me.
It really might be that.
I like
which is 10 years ago now.
I like the Chicago PD one, and I like the one in New York, the
NYPD
Special
Blue?
Victim SVU.
I've never seen those.
SVU is pretty good,
but those shows also kind of fall into the what's popular. Let's just do the same show again because there's like five different Chicago shows. There's how many different versions of CSI and Law and Order?
Chicago it's just, Hope, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, or whatever it is. Yeah, they just – I mean, look, one idea works. Let's make four shows out of it.
Yep.
We need to bring back Larry David. Larry David needs to create something else great. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. Mine's Dr. Odyssey. What is yours? 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, sports bettors. I'm here to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino. That's BetUS.com. Football is back. It's time to get on the action. We're going into week 5. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first 3 deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. Mine's Brian. You didn't play the Astro starter music today.
R.I.P.
Is that too soon?
We're one out.
Too soon.
Yeah. What's the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What you got, Blake?
We still got a little Astros to mention in the car wreck of the day. Phil Maton gets my car wreck of the day. Phil Maton came into a game for the Mets last night with the Mets having a one-run lead and proceeded to give up a one-run home run and then a two-run dinger to lose the game for the Mets.
Respectfully, you watched baseball last night?
I did.
I don't know how you
it's
do it.
It's the Brewers!
I thought you didn't claim the Brewers.
Right, but they're my hometown team, and they were on.
Well,
and I know my
them.
And my buddies you, what, my buddies are texting me that the game was on, and it was a one run game. I put it on.
I know you claimed the Bucks and the Packers. I thought the Brewers were dead to you.
I'm happy you have
they're
buddies.
They're not dead to me, but they're a small market team. They never spend the money to actually
look at
commit.
Big time Blank over here. Small
and I told you I became an Astros peasants. Fan when I moved here. So there you go.
Yeah, I was too devastated to watch baseball. Yeah,
they also used Ryan Stanek last night before Maton. It was really kind of weird.
I did read some people were mad they didn't use Edwin Diaz and they used I did read that Maton had the 8th inning this morning, but yeah, I was too sad to watch any baseball yesterday. I want to nominate Rasheed Rice's mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was she a porch pirate?
Yep.
Is that your way to say
it? A hallway of a hotel, right?
No, of her apartment complex.
Oh,
which
apartment
Rasheed
complex.
Rice, you're not taking care of mom?
Maybe it was a nice apartment.
It could be a nice one.
Okay.
It was a nice apartment.
Well, they did have an apartment complex with Ring cameras.
He's on a rookie deal.
Yeah, he's probably going to be fined legally for his actions in the.
That's true. He's going to be hanging on to his money for time being,
but not till the end of the year.
And then she was wearing his jersey whenever she was caught on camera.
It said Rice's mom.
Oh yeah, it said Rice's mom. I forgot. About
Mama
that.
Rice.
I wonder who that could be.
My goodness.
Jesus.
Bad.
And she
car
only walked by the door like 2 times before she actually decided to take it.
She's getting eyes on the scene.
It does make you wonder
in the
how
lay of the land.
It makes you wonder how in 2024 people don't realize like every door has a Ring doorbell. You're not going to get away with
even
that
at apartment
stuff.
Complexes.
Yeah, no, I see them all the time.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. What do you nominate for Carrick today?
The Coward D for coming on and hanging up on us 3 times or calling to the show 3 times, even though he apparently thinks you're a sassy.
Call me sassy.
Yeah, he called you sassy.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
At least he came back.
Three times.
He got called out, and a lot of guys would have ran.
Hung
he came
up
back.
Twice. We let him go the third time, but
that was fun. 4078 says this podcast sucks. I don't even talk about Houston sports most of the time. It's funny.
Podcast?
My car wreck of the day is the Killer Bees, says 9198. 9392, car wreck of the day is this air and these allergies. Be careful, might turn into pneumonia.
There's some stuff going around.
Yeah, that's scary. 4965, car wreck of the day, the Baltimore Orioles. Not only did get beat by Kansas City on the field, but they also got dunked on by social media.
Oh, yeah.
As the Royals media staff used a quote from The Wire, a TV show based in Baltimore.
See their post?
I didn't see it.
So the Orioles had posted a picture of a throne, like a king, a royal would sit on, and it had an Oriole sitting on it, an Oriole bird sitting on it, said, "This seat's taken." And then, of course, they quote tweeted with Bobby Witt and said, "Seats ours" or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. I really think it was well done.
I'm not going to watch October baseball anymore, but I really hope Kansas City beats the Yankees.
Oh, I'm rooting against the Yankees and the Dodgers. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I do look forward to that. Did Detroit have any burn? No, the Detroit didn't have a burn to the Astros.
I don't think
they
so.
They just put moving on, ALDS bound. They kept it classy, Detroit.
Just like AJ wants them to.
That's good. All right, what's winning here? I go with Rashi Rice's mom.
That's fine.
All right, that does it. All right, he's Brian doing all the hard work. Thank you. He's Blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Hall of Fame coming up at 7. Brad Gilmore and Jobber T.
ESPN 97.5.